Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. The meaning of life is relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot have relationship with Jesus, however, if we're not real. We need relationship. The beginning and foundation of any relationship is sincerity. Let's open our Bible now that we may learn how to begin a real relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a early Friday morning here in Texas, and it's just a good time to be reading our Bible, to be studying our Bible, to be spending time in the Word of God, and in as much spending time with Jesus. We spend time with Jesus in several ways, correct? We spend time with Jesus in prayer. When we're praying to Jesus, we're spending time with Him. We spend time with Jesus when we're thanking Him or having times of thanksgiving. We certainly spend time when we're giving praise to Jesus. We spend time with Jesus when we're worshiping Him, that not only in church, but when we're living our lives conscious of Jesus. Anytime you obey Jesus, anytime that you do something conscious of Him, you're spending time with Jesus and you're growing to know Him better. That's the meaning of our lives, is to grow to know Jesus better. Your heart should be that you want to know Christ, right? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, I wasn't going to mention this, but if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 10, I want to know Christ. And that ought to be the call of our lives. That ought to be the yearning of our hearts. Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And Paul goes on to say, in the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, verse 11, and somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. It is a remarkable verse. I want to know Christ. I want to go deeper in my relationship with Jesus. And the more you do that, the more you'll experience resurrection power, the power of a resurrected life. The vast majority of us as Christians are waiting until the next life to experience literally any kind of resurrection. But Paul in this life says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. The resurrected Christ is living in you if you're a believer by His Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian today, the power of the resurrection, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is living inside you. There are no words for it. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we spend time growing to know Him in all the ways that I just spoke about, but especially the more we spend time in the Scriptures, the more we spend time in the Word of God, the more we will grow to know Jesus, the more we will grow to walk with Him, the more we'll grow to love Him, the more we'll grow to know His love for us. And inasmuch, we'll grow more just to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with Him. And He will become more tangible to us. He'll become more real to us. He'll become more experiential in every aspect of our lives. We will still have to walk by faith, but you'll begin to touch heaven a little bit. You'll begin to touch eternity a little bit more. You'll begin to experience the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God, in a more and more substantial way. And as that happens, this whole thing gets more exciting. This whole Jesus thing moves from being a religion, from being a catechism, from being a Sunday school, however you were brought up. If, I was born and raised Catholic, And, you know, I went to Sunday school, you know, and I made my communion, and you go through all the things. And all I remember is it just, you know, it was just rote, right? It was just something you did, you went to, you learn what you learn. And then, you know, finally you're finished and you get to make your communion. But I never had any relationship. There was never any intimacy. There was never any desire to really walk with Jesus and experience Jesus beyond that. When I became a Christian, I was, I don't know, 27, 28 years old. I'm 56 years old now. All of a sudden, Jesus became alive. Jesus became real. Jesus became more than a historical religious figure that I believed, yes, entered the world and lived on a cross and died and rose again. But I wasn't saved. I didn't have eternal life. I didn't have Jesus living in me. I intellectually believed in Jesus. I believed that Jesus existed, that he came into the world, that he lived a life, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again. I never read the Bible ever. But and hence I wasn't saved because I wasn't trusting in Jesus. I wasn't relying on Jesus. I didn't understand my need of Jesus. I didn't understand what it meant that I really am, really was and really am a hopeless, desperate, hell-bound sinner in need of a Savior. And that only in receiving Jesus, only in trusting Jesus, would my sins be forgiven and would I receive eternal life? Would I be delivered from eternity in hell, from an eternity in hell? And would I go to heaven when I die? Now think about that. Where are you today? Where are you today in your walk with Jesus? Where are you in your growth in Jesus? Are you at a place where you're experiencing tangible relationship with Jesus right now? Where you throughout your day are thinking about him and his will? How many times a day do you approach Jesus in prayer? Now, I'm not saying this not from a religious point of view, but when you have a relationship with someone, when you have a growing relationship with someone, whether it's, you know, a spouse, whether it's a child, you know, whether it's a close friend, I have several brothers in Christ, multiple. I'm blessed to have several brothers in Christ that I'm very close with and that I enjoy relationship with. I have sisters in Christ that I'm close with and that I enjoy relationships with. And I have very good friends that I enjoy relationship with and growing relationship. And we like to talk to each other. We like to see what's going on in one another's lives. We like to know what the other person is doing. We have a concern for what's going on in each other's lives and each other's families and each other's marriage and each other's finances, because that's what relationship is, right? And remember, it's real relationship. You can't have this relationship if there's no real. We ought to respell the word. The Lord gave me this. I made it up. I've never heard it, but it ought to be spelled, instead of R-E-A-L, it ought to be R-E-E-L, right? We need to have real relationship, right? We need to reel it in a little bit, right? We need to draw closer, right? Now, obviously, real is R-E-A-L and relationship is R-E-L. But again, you cannot have any relationship. There is no relationship without being real. So just like it is, and all these different, you know, human relationships we have, that if we're not genuine, if we're not real, if we're not authentic, we're not going to experience any type of growing relationship. It will continue to be a very surface relationship. And most of us, if we examine ourselves, we'll see that many, if not most, sometimes all of our relationships are very surface. Because we're not real, we're not transparent, we're not candid, we're guarded all the time because perhaps when we've tried to be real or candid, we've been judged or we've been manipulated or we've been abused. But the ultimate relationship in all of our lives comes from walking with Jesus, comes from growing to know Jesus, comes from growing to love him, comes from growing to know his love for us. And in order for that to happen, it has to begin by being real. It has to begin by being sincere. And without sincerity, without realness, there is absolutely no relationship. Jesus will not engage us when we're fake. He won't even engage us when we're religious. He consistently rebuked the Pharisees and teachers of the law for having a surface, fake, outward religion, but no heart for God. Most of us as Christians still have a Sunday Christianity, have a religious Christianity instead of a relationship Christianity. So I didn't mean to go on for 11 minutes here without praying. So I'm going to pray and then we'll move on to talk about this here, just the importance of it and how to begin this relationship with Jesus. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you that we have our Bible. Father, we thank you that we have the word of God. But more than anything, we thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on the cross on our behalf and in our place that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen. And we worship you today, our resurrected Savior. We worship you today, Jesus. We want to know you today, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We do ask for eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so we're talking about relationship with Jesus. And initially, what I had planned to do, what I had studied yesterday, is I had planned to do a lesson on how to read the scriptures. And certainly, the Lord willing, the plan will be to do that maybe next time or the time after or whenever. But for whatever reason, when I sat down here and literally opened the scripture and began to talk about, you know, how we're to grow in relationship. And as you remember, I started out by talking about, you know, prayer and thanksgiving and worship and fellowship and community. And then I was going to get into that the most important thing is reading the Word of God. And then I was going to move into, you know, giving a lesson on how to read the Word of God. And for those, you know, that's something that every single one of us should yearn to do. Just know how to read the Word of God. I was reading the scriptures yesterday and I was just getting so much out of it. I was getting fed so much from it. And I was so excited. And it led me to think, man, I want to start doing a teaching, and it probably needs to be a series on how to read the Word of God in a way that it becomes more alive. Now, hopefully, you know, those of you listening to this are thinking, man, that's what I want to learn about. And again, Lord willing, we'll get to that, because even people who I know are serious Christians, and in many ways they're very mature Christians, still say that they're reading is still a chore. Their reading is still arduous. They have to force themselves to do it. Now reading the Bible is not ever just going to be like, man, I just can't wait to read my Bible. It's wonderful when it is, but the better we learn to do it, the more skilled we get at it, certainly the more we will get from it, and the more it will lead us deeper in relationship with Jesus. So maybe that's next time or the time after. But let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And look at verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. James says, but wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Impartial and sincere. The beginning of all things is sincerity. To be real. To be authentic. To be genuine. To be truthful. The beginning of any growth in relationship with Jesus is to approach him in sincerity, in reality, in truth. Knowing who you are, certainly knowing who we're not, and knowing who he is. Now, there's two different beginnings. Both begin with sincerity, but it's different if you're an unbeliever and if you're a believer. If you're a genuine believer in Jesus, you've now taken the sincere step of going before Jesus and sincerely acknowledging your sinfulness, sincerely acknowledging that you are a hopeless, desperate sinner, as the Word of God stated. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every human being, all 8.3 billion people in the world, are hopeless, desperate, hell-bound sinners, and we need a Savior. And there is only one Savior. There is only the God-man, only Jesus. No other religion in the world, no other person in the world, no other person in the Bible, except the second person in our triune three-person God, Jesus Christ our Lord, can save us. Only Jesus, only God the Son of God, willingly of his own will and decision, entered into this world, then went on to live a perfect, righteous, sinless, obedient life on your behalf. He was already perfect. But he came into this world to live that perfect, righteous, sinless life on behalf of you, me, and everyone else who would receive him. Because we cannot enter the presence of our holy triune God with any unrighteousness. In order to enter the presence of our triune God in this life and the next to go to heaven, we not only have to be forgiven of all of our sin in and through Jesus, but we have to be credited with his perfect, righteous, sinless life. Now, I know that just sounds a lot, but that's the teaching of the scripture. Jesus entered this world, lived a perfect, righteous, sinless, obedient life on behalf of humanity. Then it went on to die a horrible, torturous, excruciating death on the cross, on your behalf and in your place, on my behalf and in my place. Think about that. We deserve to die that horrible death. So he not only lived that perfect righteous life on your behalf and in your place, but then he died that horrible torturous death that you deserve to die and be punished with on your behalf and in your place. And then was raised from the dead. And even that resurrection was a cooperation of the triune God. The scripture says that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. The scripture says God the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And the scripture says that Jesus himself raised himself from the dead. So each person of our triune God cooperated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's only in the person of Jesus Christ that we can have personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Only biblical Christianity teaches the absolute truth that our God is one being, but three distinct individual persons. And you cannot, again, have a personal relationship with anything without a person. Your relationship is not with the generic being God. No other religion has any relationship with God whatsoever, because it's only in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the person that entered this world, lived for us, died for us, and rose again. It's only through him and that person that we can come into any type of personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's pretty deep. That was worth the price of admission there. What I mean by that is it's a saying that says that was worth you listening to this teaching or watching this teaching. If you can really get this understanding deep down, your relationship with Jesus will begin to grow as well. I'm gonna finish by talking about sharing this gospel with yourself. But back to sincerity, okay? Back to wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Wisdom that comes from hell is selfish ambition, pride, denying the truth. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Okay? And right now we're talking about the wisdom that begins with sincerity. Although it's the last virtue, everything begins with it. There is no nothing with Jesus. Jesus won't move with you when you're fake. If you're praying to Jesus and you're fake, he's not hearing it. And why would we do that? Do we understand that Jesus really knows us inside and out? He knows our deepest thoughts. He knows our deepest sin. He knows our deepest fears. He knows our deepest insecurities. He knows our deepest joy. He knows our deepest love. He knows just whatever it is that you're not living in, right? He knows your deepest selfishness. He knows your deepest lies. He knows your deepest lust. Whatever it is, you don't have to be fake with him because he knows it already. And believe it or not, he still loves you. And he still loves me. He still loves all 8.3 billion people in the world and wants you to be saved. So if you're not sure, if you have not been sincere, if you haven't been real, if you haven't gone before Jesus in sincerity and acknowledged yourself a desperate, hopeless sinner, knowing that without him and only him, an eternity in hell awaits, and you will not be in heaven, then just stop the tape and do it now. Just hit this on pause. You can use the words that I'm going to use and listen to me, but it's obviously the sincerity of your heart that matters. Many people have walked up a church aisle and prayed to receive Jesus just because it seemed a thing to do. I also get my fire insurance paid, but they weren't sincere. Our words don't save us, but we do use our words to sincerely communicate our heart to Jesus. So sincerely go before him and simply pray, Lord Jesus, I confess I am a hopeless, desperate sinner. I know I can't save myself, Lord. But Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I do believe that you did enter this world and live that perfect, righteous life even for me, and that you died that horrible, torturous death for me. And I do believe that you're alive and risen. Therefore, I ask you now, Lord, I sincerely ask you now to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, to save me from my sin, to bring me to heaven when I die. Lord Jesus, I place all my faith, all my hope, all my confidence, all my trust in you and you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. Please fill me now, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit and help me to live each day of my life in love and obedience to you. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now go back and listen to that over and over. When I was praying that, I was myself thinking, sincerely meaning it. Sincerity is the foundation of everything in all relationships in all the world. Without sincerity, we have nothing. Everything is fake. It's miserable. It's deceptive. It's untrue. It's pretentious. It's disgusting. And how often have I seen insincerity in my own heart? I'm sorry, Lord. Now, if you're a believer today, if you have sincerely gone before Jesus, you're going to begin this incredible, profound relationship in sincerity as well. You now have relationship with Jesus. But begin to go before him now in sincerity. Begin to tear open your heart before him. Open your heart. Just ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so Jesus can come pouring into to all those little closed doors, all those dark areas. You just want him to fill you with his light. Go to Jesus and ask him to do this. I'm just thinking here. Let's go to John, and we're gonna end here. John chapter 1. Incredible gospel to read and just study. They all are. But if I was going to tell someone to start in the gospel, if you're just going to start wanting to read in the gospel today, I'd say to start in the gospel of John. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Before anything was the Word. And he means Jesus here, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is eternal. He wasn't created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Everything was made through Jesus. Salvation came later. Jesus made the universe. Jesus made Adam and Eve. Jesus created the earth. Jesus created the planets. It's kind of a big deal. Look at verse 4. In him was life. In Jesus is life. Without him, we have no life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that obviously means men of women. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. As a believer, as believers, we all still have places, little dark places, deep down in our hearts and soul and minds and psyche. Begin today in sincerity. Begin today to be real and go before Jesus and just ask him to help you. Get down on your knees. You should be doing this at least once a day anyway. It's just good to be in a posture before Jesus of submission and say, Lord Jesus, I come before you and I ask you to help me to be real. Help me to be sincere. I want you to cleanse me, Lord Jesus, of all pretense, of all insincerity, of all fakeness, Lord. I'm sorry for being like that, Lord. I want to walk with you, Lord, and begin a relationship with you that's founded on sincerity, founded on authenticity, founded on being real, founded on being genuine. And then from that point, begin to pray in sincerity. Begin to tell Jesus. Begin to have conversations with him about the darkness of your heart. Begin to repent over different areas of your life that are out of place. Begin to ask him to come into those areas. And again, if you fail, be real about the failure and invite him back into it. As an unbeliever, you're saved by sincerely receiving Jesus, acknowledging your sin and your desperate need of him. And as a believer, you begin and maintain that relationship only in sincerity. Listen to me, this will not come easy. This is a skill, something you're going to have to work on and I'm going to have to work on. But the more we work on it with Jesus and the more we work on it with others, the more resurrection power, the more you will begin to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, your favor, your wonder. We thank you for your love. Above all, again, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we do ask you to help us this day. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us. For all that don't know you, we ask you to convict them to sincerely and candidly and frankly and honestly to come before Jesus and receive him, desperately receive him as their Lord and Savior. And for those of us that are believers, help us, Holy Spirit, convict us that we would come before Jesus, come before our Heavenly Father, come before you in truth and in realness, that we could begin this relationship and then grow in this relationship with more and more realness and sincerity and truth. Help us, Holy Spirit. Seal this to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.